As we are journeying through the Bible, we presently have come to Acts chapter 19. Tonight we'll be studying the 19th chapter, but this morning we'd like you to look at the first few verses. Acts 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. And he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said unto him, "Unto John's baptism." And he said, "Well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men. This morning we sang, "God in three persons, Blessed Trinity." Now, we know about the person of the Father. We know about the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. But so many people know little about the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is perhaps because Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not testify of himself, but he will testify of me. So because the witness of the Holy Spirit is of Jesus Christ, and he has come to glorify Jesus Christ, we hear very little about the Holy Spirit. Here in Ephesus, they had not even heard of the Holy Spirit, nor of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul was quick to correct that. But as with those in Ephesus, so is true of so many people today. They know very little of the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's ministry is to glorify Jesus and to witness of Jesus, any supposed manifestations of the Holy Spirit that glorify man, I reject as wrong. Now, Paul's question was, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" There are some who prefer the translation, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And either translation is supported by the Greek. Any true work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is going to glorify Jesus Christ. And whether or not it is, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, or have you received him since you believed?" they both indicate that there is an experience with the Holy Spirit that is separate from and subsequent to believing in Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But I will pray to the Father, and he will give to you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, because he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." In the 20th chapter of John, after the resurrection of Jesus, we read that he breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." But still again, a little later, just before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which he said, "I've been telling you about." For John indeed baptized with the waters of repentance, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then he promised that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would receive a new dynamic in their lives. A dynamic that would allow them to be witnesses of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Now, there were three prepositions. Jesus said, "He is with you, he shall be in you." And then you'll receive power when he comes upon you. Prior to conversion, the Holy Spirit is with a person. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts you of your sin. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus Christ as the answer to your sin. It is the Holy Spirit that draws you to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. But once you have received that work of the Holy Spirit and have accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit then begins to dwell within you. He comes into your life and he begins a work within your life of conforming you into the image of Jesus. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Don't you realize that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you?" To the Ephesians, he said, "Now don't be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit indwelling their lives. But there was a subsequent relationship with the Holy Spirit when you, Jesus said, receive the, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and here the Greek preposition hapi, upon or over. When the Holy Spirit begins to overflow your life. In the 7th chapter of John, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried to the great multitude there on the Temple Mount, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that drinks of the water that I give, as the scripture saith, out of his innermost being there will flow rivers of living water." John tells us that he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given. What? That it would gush forth out of your life as a torrent of living water. So the threefold relationship: with you prior to conversion, in you once you have received Jesus Christ, but then overflowing your life as you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to fill a cup with water. But once the cup is full, if you keep pouring from the pitcher, the cup will begin to overflow. One thing to have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, another to be overflowing the Holy Spirit overflowing from you. So when Paul came to Ephesus, evidently he sensed that there was something lacking in their Christian walk. And observing whatever it was, he sort of sensed that perhaps they haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that dynamic that the Spirit brings. Maybe there was an absence of love. Because one of the real marks of the Holy Spirit in our life is this divine love. The love that's described as bringing us joy and peace, that causes us to be long-suffering and patient, that manifests itself in goodness and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. And maybe Paul saw the lack of this love, this dynamic of love, which prompted him to ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Maybe they lacked a zeal and an enthusiasm for the things of the Spirit. That they were sort of caught up in the flesh and in fleshly things, and there wasn't much dynamic or zeal in their lives. And perhaps this is what caused Paul to question, have you received the Holy Spirit? Whatever it was that Paul noticed, he suspicioned that their deficiency was due to the lack of the dynamic of God's Holy Spirit in their lives. They had not yet had this overflowing experience. Many people have complained of the difficulty of living the Christian life. And some have even given up because they have found that it was too difficult. To live the Christian life is not only difficult, it is impossible. You cannot live the Christian life apart from the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. It is a mistake to look at the teachings of Jesus Christ as he taught us the ideal life, and then to admit to it, yes, this is the right way to live, and even make your determination, I'm going to start living this ideal life. You will find that you will soon be very frustrated because you will find an inability in and of yourself to follow the teachings and the principles that Jesus set forth. You just can't do it in the efforts of your own flesh, no matter how noble they may be. It is so frustrating to see the ideal, to admire the ideal, to admit to it, and then to be unable to live up to it. Paul spoke of that frustration in his own personal experience in Romans 7. He said, I do the things that I don't want to do. And I don't do the things I desire to do. And I hate the things that I'm doing. I consent to the law. It is good. The ideal, it's good. I consent to it, but I cannot perform that which is good. For when I would do good, evil is present with me. My inward man delights in the law of God. But I find that there's another law in my flesh that wars against my mind and brings me into bondage to my flesh so that I cannot do those things that I wish. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Found himself frustrated. I look at the law and I read what the law says I ought to be doing. I ought to love. I ought to be forgiving. I ought to be kind. I shouldn't hold anger. I shouldn't be bitter. I ought to be easygoing. And I say, yes, I realize that. That's good. That's the good way to live. I ought to live a pure life. I ought to live a holy life. I ought to do good to others. I ought to be kind and considerate of others' needs. I should be more interested in giving to them and helping them than I am from taking from them. Yes, that's a good way to live. I consent to the law. It's good. That's where Paul was. But he said, how to perform it, I can't find. I try to do it. But when I would do good, evil is present with me. Until he came to that point of frustration, just crying out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this bondage to my flesh, to the flesh life? Paul answers his own question in the next chapter, in chapter 8. There he speaks of the life of the Spirit. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do because of the weakness of my flesh, God has done for me by sending His Son in the flesh, that he might fulfill the righteousness of the law in me. As I walk after the Spirit, so then, he said, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The answer to this frustration, the answer to my desire to live the Christian life as the Lord would have me to live, lies in the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, dynamic, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses, Jesus said unto me. Now, the Bible tells us concerning Jesus that he was a true and faithful witness of God. What does that mean? It means that he lived, and his life, as he lived it, was a witness of what God is. So that when Philip said, Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied, he said, Philip, have I been this long with you and haven't you seen me? Don't you realize that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? Why? Because he was a witness. His life was a witness of what God is. If you want to know what God is, what God is like, look at Jesus. His life is a witness of the Father. He was the true and faithful witness. Now, he wants you to be his witnesses in the world. That you would be able to say, if you have seen me, you have seen my Savior. He wants you to so live that you follow in his footsteps. As Peter said, he has left for us an example that we might walk in his steps, follow in his footsteps. And Peter tells us that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Of course, the Gospels tell us of his love, of his compassion, of his kindness, of his goodness, his purity. And he wants you to live just like that. He wants your attitudes to reflect his attitude. And of course, we immediately recognize and realize that I just can't do it. I've tried to be nice, but I'm mean. I've tried not to be upset, but I am. And so often we find ourselves almost in automatic responses where we respond to something just almost instinctively, and then we say, "Oh, why did I say that? Oh, you know," and we, but it's just there. It's just natural, it seems, and it is part of the natural life of the flesh, but God wants you to have a supernatural life, and for that he's given to you a supernatural endowment of his Holy Spirit. And you will receive power, the dynamics, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and Jesus said, "You will be then witnesses unto me." Now, I can't be that witness apart from the Holy Spirit. I need that dynamic in my life. If Paul would visit the church this morning, spend a little time with you, do you suppose that he would ask, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your fervency for Jesus Christ? On that same scale, where would you rate your fervency towards the outcome of the Angels game or the Dodgers? How fervent are you towards the things of God? Is the Spirit flowing forth from your life like a torrent of living water? Everywhere you go, are people around you being refreshed and being blessed because of that dynamic of the Spirit that just is coming forth from your life? Do you find yourself frustrated in your inability to live up to the ideal that you admire? I would encourage you to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that your life might overflow with his love and with his power. For Jesus said, "If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" Even now, if you will just ask the Father to give you that gift of his Holy Spirit, that you might have the dynamic in your life to live as God would have you to live and as in your heart you would love to live, even now you can receive that gift. The Bible tells us that if we will draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And if in your heart right now, you'll just say, "Oh Lord, I do want to live after the Spirit. I do want to have the characteristics of your Spirit the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, that self-control. Lord, give me the dynamic, that power of your Spirit. I desire it, Lord. I need it, Lord. Let my life overflow. God is faithful. And if you ask, you will receive. And if you seek, you will find. You'll find a glorious life of victory and power that you never dreamed imaginable. As you begin to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, you'll be everything God wants you to be. Shall we pray? Father, how we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us in our weaknesses and in the inability of our flesh to live up to the demands of your law. But we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to just live in frustration, in that wanna be but can't. But Lord, through the power of your Spirit, we can be everything that you want us to be. Lord, even now, from our hearts, we ask, Lord, for that empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. That as we go forth from this place into a world that is lost in sin, that our lives might be a witness, a light in the darkness, salt, bringing a purifying influence into the community. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit until our lives overflow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand?
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Now may the Lord be with you. May the power of the Holy Spirit just enable you to be his witness in this world. And may God bless all of you mothers and give you a glorious day as your families and as we honor you for your faithfulness and for your love and for your goodness and for the tremendous input that you've made in our lives, helping us to walk the way that God would have us to walk, giving us an example of his love and of his care and of his goodness.